Greg Jobin leads, Day Hernandez, G2 Brown in Chicago, and Isabel Souza Rodriguez. Best of luck on your journey. The book, again, When We Fight, We Win, 21st Century Social Movements and the Activists That Are Transforming Our World. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gattas-Diener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Steve Martinez, Hani Massoud, Juan Carlos Davila, Pedro Rodriguez, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Engineer. Special thanks to Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Come listen to our radio show.
Mixtape Radio, every Wednesday night at midnight.
Until 3 a.m. Thursday morning.
Featuring the newest and the best in indie, alternative, and experimental music.
With your hosts, Jeff.
And Christine.
So tune in. It's really gonna go.
Hello, yes, hi, hey. This is WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 megahertz, on the FM band, and streaming live at WUSB.FM. Hey, it's 6:01. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Hello. This is Off the Wall with Emmanuel and Kyle. I'm right here, and Emmanuel's over there.
Outraged.
Well, what are you outraged
about?
I'm
just completely outraged.
Okay.
I'm beside myself. Hello, I'm talking to myself. I'm beside myself, literally. I am just flabbergasted, angry, bitter. If words cannot describe how I feel right now. If I were to try and come up with some way of putting into words what I'm feeling right now, I would fail. I would fail completely because I can't do it. It's not possible. It's not possible. There are no words. There are no words that can describe the complete anger that I feel right now. What our president did today. Oh my gosh. I mean, wow. How dare he? How dare he impose this kind of thing on us, on the good law-abiding citizens of these here United States? I mean, what do you think about this, Kyle? It's background checks. He's imposing background. People who buy guns now must go through background checks. I know they had to go through background checks before, but now they really have to go through background checks, and they have to follow the law. And if you sell like 1,000 guns, you have to run background checks on the people you sell guns to. I mean, if the founding fathers were here right now, they would take a gun and shoot themselves because they would be so at a loss for words. You know what I mean? Am I getting this across?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not angry. I don't think I'm outraged. It kind of makes sense. It's something that needed to be worked on, something we needed to look at and maybe make some fixes where there had been sort of gray areas and sort of undefined businesses and so on. I think that's right. That's appropriate.
I'm just going to read from the Washington Post article, and maybe I can conjure up why I'm so upset at this right now. The key provision would require more gun sellers, especially those who do business on the internet and at gun shows, to be licensed. Yeah, licensed, and would force them to conduct background checks on potential buyers. In other words, you can't just sell a gun to anybody. You have to know something about them. You have to run a check on them to see if they're on some sort of list, maybe if they're wacko, who knows. But it's now your responsibility as somebody who sells a gun to run a background check on the person you sell a gun to. All right, and I got to tell you, back in the 1700s, they didn't run background checks. They didn't have computers then, because they knew that this was a fundamental freedom, and computers are against the Constitution. You can't just put someone's name in there and define who they are and if they're qualified or not. The Founding Fathers knew this, and that's why they didn't write that into the Constitution. But let me go on, because it does go on. Yeah, you have to be licensed. I mean, is there ever more of an insult than being told you have to be licensed to do something? I mean, that's why I don't have a driver's license. I fly airplanes. And I don't have an airplane license. How dare they tell me that I need a license to do something? How dare they? But continuing here, Obama is going to devote $500 million more in federal spending to treating mental illness. Wow. When you treat somebody to ice cream, okay, you are rewarding them. You are rewarding them for being good or getting a top grade on a report card or something like that. Here, he's treating mental illness. It's not another saying it's okay, it's good. Here, have some more. Have some ice cream. And do we need this in our leaders? Do we need that? No, I don't think we do. Now, and you're going to love this, he's also requiring, who else required things? Hitler. Hitler required things. He required a lot of things. He would always say what he required to people before he shot them. or had them shot with guns he could freely get at the time. But requiring here that firearms lost in transit between a manufacturer and a seller be reported. You know, like you get reported by a hall monitor in school. Yeah, exactly like that. Except these innocent guns that are lost. I mean, have you ever been lost? It's frightening. It's scary. But these guns are out there. They're lost. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. And now Obama is requiring them to be reported to federal authorities if they're lost. I cannot do this, Kyle. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard to see their side. I really am. Give me credit for that. I tried.
Yeah.
What are they upset about? I don't understand. He signed this thing and he made this declaration today. And people are angry, and I don't know what they're angry about. I don't know what they're... Can someone please explain it to me? He's requiring background checks. He's requiring people to report when guns get lost in transit. He's pumping money into mental illness awareness. And yet, these people, including all the Republican candidates, are outraged. Absolutely outraged that he's doing this. What do they support? What are they for? What is their argument? I've been asking people this all day, and I cannot get a straight answer.
Well, it's about things being the same. The status quo. They're outraged that the status quo doesn't include sort of an intelligent look at our policies with guns, and something that hasn't really been updated in a while, and I'm glad that we're actually going through the particulars of it, and I think the administration's welcoming the debate, or if there even is a debate. I think you need a license for your sarcasm. I mean, in these political times, you can't just go open carrying that kind of sarcasm, because it's dangerous.
Point taken. I feel dirty. I mean, I'm trying to get into their heads. I really am. I've listened to all of them. You know, I've seen what they're putting out in the media. And they're basically accusing Obama of coming and taking everyone's gun. This does not go nearly far enough, as far as I'm concerned. But I still believe that if you think it does anything at all, and you don't say so, you're basically opening the door for the people that want to keep things the way they are, for them to win. People have to show support for at least this, because look at the reaction it's getting. Look at the anger that it's generating. You know, that obviously means something. It means it's a sore point for them.
Yeah.
Who are these people? What do they want? You know, it's really kind of scary. All these massacres and terrorist acts in this country that have taken place. Apparently, they're fine with that. That's just peachy. But God forbid you do something like enforce the already existing laws, such as background checks. How and under what logic would you not have a background check on somebody who's buying a weapon? You know, it's something people overwhelmingly support. So why do these people, you know, all these Republicans running for president, why are they so adamant against it when the majority of people support it?
Yeah, and you'd think in a society that is so gung-ho about this, you'd think we'd have some of the best implementations of background check. I don't know what that equates to. I don't know. Do they need an app? Are they having trouble somehow? I mean, whatever they have to do to modernize. But you'd think that they'd be at the forefront of this. I mean, if you were involved in any kind of food handling, you need to be involved with sanitary production methods and so on. It's the same.
They're against that, too. I think Trump was against that, wasn't he?
Maybe.
Something about food regulation and let's just let the market decide that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, to that end. You'd think that they would be pioneering a bit more, or at least take the opportunity, take the scrutiny, and turn it into some pioneering efforts. But what they want is they want not to have legal precedents, more legal precedents, like the Brady Bill, mm-hmm. like the assault weapons ban. They do not want more legal precedents in the realm of guns and gun if we can even call it control. I don't think we have gun control. We don't have gun self. We don't have self-control about guns. I know that.
We were watching Canadian TV the other night, and some really good things that we were seeing. We discovered Canadian Vice. You know, it's a version of Vice, but it's in Canada.
Yeah, they have a Vice in Canada.
But they also had a gun commercial in the middle of it, because we were watching, I think, something in Alberta.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, pretty straightforward, a whole rack of guns, pretty straightforward as far as what they were advertising, and really enthusiastic about it. This is a country that does not have a gun problem, yet they have many guns. You know, and if you watch Bowling for Columbine, you see the same conclusion reached. A lot of people never watch the film. They just assume that it's a blanket condemnation of guns. No, the problem is with our culture and with things that we fantasize about and believe are our protected rights when they absolutely are not. We have this obsession with weaponry, but not for the use of hunting or target practice. Just for the use of killing other people with guns. And that's what so many people are into.
Right. And it's a little bit disassociated. I think the heritage, and definitely after my trip in Canada this past summer, the hunting and trapping kind of culture as your upbringing, as a part of like homesteading and sort of ruggedness and sort of that interaction with your environment, I think there's a lot closer bond, or like definitely like a strong correlation there as far as weapons and how they're a part of people's lives. It is about more about hunting and sport, and there's a lot of recreational outdoors type stuff available in Canada. I think part of what's gone on in the States, and I don't want to make this too big, too meta, because, you know, I can easily do that, but it's the kind of thing where we're industrialized, we're modern in the sense that we're not out hunting in quite the same way, and we don't have as many sort of fishing holes and places, especially in urban environments, and people, and I think people bear arms more because of the fear of other people and things going wrong or I think more as a result of people living sort of on top of each other, being so densely populated and yet disassociated, not knowing your neighbors as well. And I think that with guns and this sort of that sort of breeds a sort of distrust, and that is become our mindset, as you point out. Whereas in Canada, it's like, yeah, you know, our family, you know, we had a tradition more, I mean, about gathering food and, you know, stocking up, that kind of thing, as a part of living. I'm saying we've lost touch with our roots. I think that's really the crux of it, is that that whole, like, pioneer, like, frontier mentality, I think it's lost on people in L.A. or, like, people in Chicago, right? Like, we live in cities where it's not so much to protect you against animals, it's to protect you against other humans, whether it's a real threat or not. But that's when we think of guns, that's what we think they're for. Mm-hmm. Whereas I could really see the mentality around weapons in Canada. Sure, they have crime. I'm sure people will, you know, arm themselves and so on up there for similar reasons. I'm not saying it's a total utopia in the least, but I am I definitely know that if you even go there for a little bit, you understand how much people love the outdoors, how much they love hunting, and it's really it's the whole picture. It's not that that is a convenient sort of association so that you can have massive amounts of weapons, right? It's not a means to that end. It's a means, it's a part of a lifestyle and a heritage and sort of stewardship of the land and so on and so forth, and survival even.
Yeah, and the great outdoors, you kind of need that if you're going to be doing anything serious. In this culture of ours, though, it's just turned into this myth of something you need for defensive purposes, and you know when you come back to it, it's always because someone else has a gun that you need to have a gun yourself. So you know I think we can all agree that there's too many damn guns out there, and if we hadn't let it get to this point, maybe we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just sort of go back to that and start over and get it right? You know, something more like other civilized countries have done. But, you know, I'm thinking back to when that famous Second Amendment was written in the first place. Things obviously were very different then. weaponry was very, very different. Wars were fought pretty much one-on-one. Many times, you know, you became a hero in a war because you did something heroic, because you fought somebody face to face and defeated an enemy with your hands or the weapons you held in your hands.
Right.
These days, it's nothing like that anymore. It's you know, people deployed en masse, all kinds of places, dropping bombs, piloting drones.
It's mechanized.
The personal contact is no longer there. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. The personal contact wasn't any picnic for sure, but we've become kind of numb to it, and we also have access to weaponry that was unimagined back then in the 1700s. But what I'm wondering was, I'm not quite sure how to figure this out, because I admittedly am ignorant on the history of guns and firearms and things like that. But Kyle, maybe you have an idea of this. Today we have guns that fire many, many times, and I imagine back in the 1700s, what kind of gun did you have? Were there pistols then, things that held, you know, six bullets that you could go bang, 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 you know, to somebody? Or did you have to reload a gun every time you fired one shot?
I think they were more towards, like, the latter,
mm-hmm.
Around revolutionary times and during the founding of our country. I think it was not until the 19th century that we got sort of what you're talking about, the six-shooter would be like a revolver.
Yeah, well, the Westerns, that's when they had the six-shooters.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing a single film that the 1700s somebody had a six-shooter and was able to shoot more than one bullet at a time. So that said, I'm fine with people going out and getting those kinds of guns where you can just shoot one bullet and then you have to reload it. The school shootings would go way down, the workplace killings, because they'd have to reload every damn time they put a bullet in the thing. Now, yeah, I know people have more sophisticated weapons, and you might feel you have to counter against those, but let's not pretend that the Constitution has anything to say about machine guns and semi-automatic and automatic weaponry and even pistols, because they didn't exist then. They weren't there. So at least not in the form that we're familiar with now. So it's apples and oranges. You know, and are continuing to point to that as evidence that people have the right to do the crazy things they're doing right now doesn't serve anybody. What happened today is minuscule. It's not a step towards fixing that big problem, but it's something. It's a step, and you know, even a tiny baby step is significant and apparently controversial in our culture. Once we get past that, maybe we'll be grown up enough to actually have a more mature conversation about, okay, how do we really fix this problem? But right now, it's just so troubling to see that even something as basic as requiring the required background checks to be required, that infuriates people. I don't understand what they think is going to happen to them as a result of that. If they're criminals, yeah, okay, maybe they won't pass the background check. But if they aren't criminals, then they'll be fine. And isn't that what they're arguing for in the first place, that only criminals benefit from other laws? Well, this is a law that criminals won't benefit from. So I'm trying to understand the logic, and it's not working.
Well, it's because it explicitly says the right to bear arms, okay, not firearms. And arms could be anything, including ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you restrict the ability to have ideas, you are fundamentally dismantling freedom.
Yeah, but, you know, a semi-automatic weapon is not an idea, okay? And there are lots of arms that we are not allowed to have, and we don't have problems with that. We're not allowed to drive tanks around Main Street, okay? We're not allowed to have a cannon. I'd like to have a cannon, but I know I'm not allowed to have a cannon. You know, there's all sorts of things. Nuclear weapons, off the table. You can't have them. Yeah, boo-hoo. It's something that upsets us that we can't have our own nuclear weapons, but we understand that for the greater good of society, probably not a good idea. So why is there this gap when we're talking about other things where it just seems so obvious? And I sometimes feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone where, you know, I'm shouting all this stuff and it's coming out gibberish and no one is really on the same page. So I hope today is a step towards that. And I think what will determine if there's any success is if the people that get that, the people that understand it, they'll say, oh, you know what, I don't support it because it's not enough. Because you get lumped in with the people that don't support it because it's too much. Support it. Support it for now. Just like I've been saying for the last 8 years, with all the tiny steps Obama has taken, support the tiny steps. They lead to bigger steps. Look where we've gotten. You know, I have a story here. I just want to show you something. I just saw this on the way in, and it blew my mind because I never thought that I'd ever be reading a story like this. Ronkonkoma Charter Service begins Cuba flights. Yeah, we can go down to MacArthur Airport, right, a few miles away from here, and we can get flights to Cuba now. Huh, what do you think about that?
That's cool.
I never thought that would happen. It's hard to say the airline. Excel Air, and they don't even spell air right. They add an E to the end of that. Excel Air has received FAA clearance to fly to Cuba. They announced that today. They maintain hangar space at MacArthur Airport. They say they made their first flight to Havana on December 21st, but I don't understand. They got permission today. Is Newsday saying that they flew before they had permission?
Maybe from the airport?
Okay. Yeah, you might be right about that. And in August, another Long Island charter service, JFI Jets, whose primary bases are at Republic Airport in East Farmingdale and at Long Beach Airport in California, where it's headquartered, began offering flights to Cuba. And as we all know, Cuba was off limits for decades for people to travel to, and now that's changed. Now that has changed. We've taken small steps, and we've gotten someplace significant. And I can point to a dozen other things that have happened in the last 8 years that are significant. Yeah, we want more. We obviously want more, and we don't want the bad stuff that happened as well. But if you just lump it all in as an entirely negative experience, well, you know, you're going to learn what a negative experience is next year. I was listening to Chris Christie on the way in. I don't know why I was doing this. And he was vowing to basically, he was telling people to get high now.
Because, yeah.
What was his phrase?
He says, get high while you can, because I'm coming for, you know, he's like a big threats all over the place.
Somehow
basically,
he develops a hick accent when he says these things, too.
Yeah, he was coming for all of your legal marijuana laws. Oh, no. Yeah, so watch out. Chris Christie's going to take your weed when he becomes president. I almost said pregnant.
these people just seem so evil and on so many levels. It's like in a rational society, it would be a signal, don't vote for me. But in our society, it's like, yeah, you know what? Why not? Why not vote for Darth Vader to lead the country? Maybe he'll make things right. And we often get this fantasy, and it doesn't play out well. So that can happen in another year if we are not careful. We could get a Cruz. We could get, dare I say it, a Trump. You know, we could get a Rubio. We could get a Christie. We could get all kinds of things. They're all nightmares.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, watch it with the sarcasm. It's lost on them. Lost on them.
Them being what, our audience? You really think that people are going to
seriously? I think our audience is certainly capable, but I'm not going to kid myself that, you know, our, quote, audience is the entirety of the listenership. I'm sure other people tune in. That this is a popular station here at WUSB Stony Brook.
It is the most popular station on campus. Did you know that?
Is it?
The numbers are out. Yes, it's true.
That is remarkable.
What do you mean second? No. You said... All right, now they're backtracking. Now apparently we're the second most popular. You know what? We'll figure this out. But I think we're pretty popular.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I'd like to know who's the next runner-up.
after us, who we're competing with.
It's a station from Columbia. That was a Miss Universe joke. I'm sorry. What do you think of that? Steve Harvey screwing things up. Did we talk about this already last week, Miss Universe?
I can't remember if we did. We might have for just a second.
Well, in case we did, let's not talk about it this week.
Yeah, let's not talk about it this week.
All right. Instead, I have a better story for you. And tell me if this story makes you feel just a little bit good inside.
Yeah.
If it does, then we're going to try and figure out why.
Okay, I'm ready.
A bandit in a wheelchair stuck up a Queens bank and then rolled off with the loot. This happened yesterday. Oh, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Wow, look at you. You're rolling. You're wow. You're knee slapping even.
Wow.
Somebody actually slapped their knee when they left. Okay, well, the crook entered the TD Bank branch on Queens Boulevard by 40, in case you need to go there, by 41st Street in Sunnyside. It's near where we were parked doing the other radio show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
We were in Sunnyside by a McDonald's because we couldn't get to the other radio station, and we were in a driving rainstorm, and we did the show from the car. But had we known, we could have prevented this TD Bank branch on Queens Boulevard a few blocks away from being robbed yesterday at 1:46 p.m. Don't you love how Newsday is so precise? Actually, I'm supposed to say the Daily News. They're very precise with these stories. Anyway, he entered the TD Bank branch, which is handicap accessible, made his way to a teller. He passed a note threatening that he had a bomb and a gun, and the teller handed him cash. The thief then fled south on Queens Boulevard. the crime was similar to a June heist in which a man in a wheelchair robbed another Queens bank and made off with more than $1,000. Think it might be the same guy? Or is there a string of wheelchair bank robbers in Queens?
It's probably the same guy.
No, it might be a gang. Who knows? Yeah, and that bank job happened around 2 p.m. at the Santander Bank. I've never heard of that bank. Santander Bank on Broadway in Astoria. Now, you can get to Astoria pretty easily from Sunnyside. You got to take the 7 to Queens, Queensborough Plaza, then go across the platform. To, I believe it's the N train, or it might be the Q train. I'm not sure which it is. And you just go into Astoria from there. By the way, that platform is the only platform on the entire MTA system where an IRT line, i.e. a numbered line, is across the platform from a lettered line, which could be BMT or IND. And for those of you who don't understand anything I just said, you know, it's not worth it. But, yeah, okay, wheelchair robbers. Think about that. Not people who rob wheelchairs, but people who are robbing from wheelchairs.
That's better than crutches, I guess, because you can actually get some speed, maybe. I think crutches would be a lot harder.
Here's the best story involving a gun that I've been able to find in the last few weeks.
Okay.
This is actually a good story.
I think this will be good because you find some good ones. I mean, you really do find the youngest, dumbest little kid with the brightest pink machine gun.
This is not a two-year-old shooting a three-year-old.
All right,
like that.
Whatever. Yeah, lay it on me. What do you got?
All right. This is a story that, where else does it take place? Texas. Do you know in Texas now, open carry is now completely legal?
I'm sorry. It's Texas carry.
Whatever. But I heard a story, and I don't have it in front of me, but I heard that a line to get into the state capitol, if you had a gun, you got the express line, and you got in faster than the people who didn't have a gun who had to be checked for weapons. This could only happen in Texas. Literally, if you didn't have a gun, you had to wait in line longer than the people who had guns. And what were they checking you for in the line where you didn't have guns? Guns and other weapons. This is Texas logic. At some point, we have to say, okay, the joke's gone far enough.
Texas doesn't do logic. That's why God gave them, what were those weather things that they had?
Tornadoes?
Yeah, they landed. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was from God, I think.
Okay, well, you know what? You and God deal with that. I'm not going to take any kind of credit for tornadoes.
Ask somebody in Texas. They'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, this is about 27-year-old George Pickering III, who was comatose. He was set to be taken off of life support. That is, until his father entered a Texas hospital with a gun which apparently you couldn't do back then, but now you probably could.
Hallelujah.
And threatened the staff, which I guess you can do all the time in Texas, resulting in a standoff with the police. Now, according to the Daily Mail, his father, 59-year-old George Pickering the second, was involved in a standoff with the police until his ill son squeezed his father's hand. Yeah, George III had come to during the standoff, for which his father has now been charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Now, the altercation occurred at Tomball Regional Medical Center in Texas, where George III was... Really? George III? That's what we're going to call him now? George III, like a king?
Yeah.
All right. George III was being kept after he had suffered a stroke earlier this month. The hospital had declared him brain dead, but in fact, he was simply Texan. Oh, come on! You got to have a sense of humor.
Okay.
They get away with that on the Daily Show. Nobody would write letters or send telegrams or...
But here,
I get called up to a hearing in front of, you know, the politically correct department here, and
or it would be some vitriol about how it was not one way or the other, or it didn't go far enough, and then it went too far, and then and some really overfamiliar folksy kind of stuff, and yeah.
Anyway, continuing with this feel-good story here.
Yes.
As a result, the hospital ordered a terminal wean, W-E-A-N, a terminal wean, meaning that his life support was set to be slowly withdrawn to end George's life. Now, George Sr.'s ex-wife and other son had agreed with the hospital's decision to pull the plug, but George II believed they were moving too fast. The hospital, the nurses, the doctors, I knew if I had 3 or 4 hours that night that I would know whether George was brain dead. Well, Pickering's standoff with the police lasted 3 hours, during which nobody was killed, before his other son was eventually able to get the gun away from him. George Sr. later admitted to being drunk during the whole exchange. Again, Texas. But he stands by his actions. He did what he did, he claims, because he knew his son wasn't ready to die. Pickering Sr. later had his charges reduced, and he was released earlier last month. There was a law broken, but it was broken for all the right reasons, said his son, George III, who is now speaking and is fully recovered. I'm here now because of it. It was love. It was love. But you know what, George III? It was also a gun. Guns saved your life. And that, my friends, is really the only story I could find of a gun being used for something good in the last couple of months. So, bravo. I will report these stories when I find them, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeehaw!
It says more about Texas healthcare, I think, than anything else. Is that noise really required?
Oh, sorry.
There are Skyriders at the Rose Bowl Parade. Did you see this? I'll hand it to you. They wrote out messages about Donald Trump. Yeah, saying that, what it says.
That's so cool.
Actual airplanes were doing this.
The whole story?
Well, just the message that the Skyriders wanted to get out.
America is great. Trump is disgusting.
It's true. You can't argue with that.
I do have an update, actually. The Trump machine actually is down for repair. We tried to update the firmware. I don't know if anybody has been paying attention. They have started up the Trumpophone, which is the propaganda machine for Trump. And as a result, everybody who had the old machine gets a choice. You either upgrade or you have to reinstall the firmware with a patch. It's incredibly technical, but the point is we're still down.
We got a waiver. We got a Trump machine waiver. We no longer have to have the Trump machine going.
Right. The work order, we got a copy of the quote and stuff. But anyway, the point is we're within compliance, but we're late. We don't have our updated machine, so we can't bring that content to you right yet. But this is good. This is what the other side is trying to do, and this is why we need to get that machine fixed.
Yeah, well, you know, you can say that, but I believe that in the next couple of months, the entire FM and AM spectrum will become a Trump machine, so you won't need an individual one. It'll be there by default.
I think there is a syndication clause, but we're still investigating. So,
I would like to go into delay. Not necessarily to take phone calls. It didn't go so well last week. But, you know, if we see a full bank of phones ringing, maybe we'll be tempted to go into phone calls. But I have another reason for going into delay, which I'd like to get into after we make it to delay.
Would you say on delay?
No, I would never say that. Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, I will do my darndest to get us all the way.
Without awkward silences or...
What? Would you stop interrupting me?
I'm sorry for interrupting you.
The buildup is excruciating.
When people say stop interrupting me and they interrupt you to say that.
I hate it when people interrupt you.
No, let me talk.
No. You stop interrupting me.
Stop interrupting me.
No, don't interrupt me.
You interrupt me saying not to interrupt you.
You're interrupting me.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, we would like to get, we would say on delay, we'd like to be in delay sometime today. So without further
delay,
here you go.
Hi, this is Arthur Lee of Love, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And it wasn't too awkward a silence. It was just, I think it was a pregnant pause more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had to focus. I was expecting you to hold down things as the chief here and support. But regardless, okay, yeah, you covered my awkward silence because I forgot. See, I always do the wrong way. When I'm going that way, I don't speak. When I have 7 seconds, I do speak. It's terrible.
If people knew what we had to go through to go into delay, it's just you have to you're hearing something that happened 7 seconds ago, but you're expected to talk as if you're not hearing that, and then you're not sure that your voice is going out 7 seconds from then. And the only reason that we know that our voices are going out is because we see a little meter moving, and I assume that's our voices.
Yeah, they stop listening.
Could be something else entirely.
Nobody has a clue what you just said. They don't care either.
Oh, that's not unusual.
Yeah. The point is, we have a call,
but we're not taking calls right now.
If this was a real radio station, we'd be in delay all the time.
It's a real radio station. It's not a real phone system. That's the problem.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If we have 5 phone calls, we'll go to the phones, but I think we only have 1.
Yeah, this 55 is not enough.
Anyway, but the point is, look, I want to go to the story first, and then we'll see if we can take phone calls.
So keep trying.
Yeah. This is the story about the guys out in Oregon. You heard about this, right? In fact, I basically proclaimed it a couple of days ago. I said, Kyle, a bunch of radical Islamic people have taken over a federal building in Oregon.
Well, it took me a minute, but then I realized you were talking about refugees.
Well, refuge, yeah, there's one E off. But you jumped out of your skin, said, oh, my God. And then I said, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. It's a bunch of Black Lives Matter people. And you still, you know, stood up and said, oh, my God, that's something else.
I think I said that was cool.
Okay, you said right on.
Or it's about time.
And then I said, okay, I'm kidding one more time, but this is the last time. It's actually a bunch of right-wing militia people. And you sat back down and turned to another channel. Actually, any channel would have done because the media was not covering it at all. It was not even a news story. Now it's a news story. Days later, they finally have woken up to it. But, you know, it was being spread all around social media, which, you know, it's always embarrassing when social media really beats the mass media, as they do so many times. And basically, the conversation was such that if this had been a different kind of person taking over a federal building, what would have been the response by law officials, by the media, by the American public in general? And I think we all know it would have been very, very different. Here we have a bunch of so-called patriots who have taken over this building, taken over this wildlife refuge because they're angry at federal land policies that victimized a guy that doesn't even want them to be doing this on his behalf. And they say, there's 150 of them, they say they're going to be there as for years, and they will shoot anybody who tries to evict them. I mean, that's kind of violent, don't you think?
Yeah, it's violent, but this is a whole realm of issues that I'm actually not really studied up on enough to get into, I think. But suffice to say, I think there are a couple things going on with that that are, yes, definitely less than desirable, and I can understand how it looks. But I do know that there are there is a really strong contingent of people that do have grievances with the way the BLM and the federal government treat owners of land. And it is, I mean, I worked with the Forest Service. I did a lot of different things, and I know that that's something that they encounter when they try to move people. They encounter a lot of resistance from people that are taxpayers and know it.
BLM means?
Bureau of Land Management.
Not Black Lives Matter, just so people know. There's been some confusion about that. But, yeah, what you say is true. But you know what? There are lots of contentious issues. And, you know, people, innocent people being shot by cops is certainly one of them. And if people reacted like this, taking over buildings, armed standoffs, things like that, you would see all kinds of outrage on the part of politicians and the media and the general public. This, it's just, oh, these people, they have to listen to them. Poor, you know, ranchers that are upset at one policy or another.
Okay, but if you talked to the people there and asked them if they thought, what they thought about Black Lives Matter taking over a federal building with arms, I think they would say that they have the right to express themselves that way.
Well, we have a chance to do that. See that phone number right there?
Sure.
Just dial 9 first.
Okay.
And then a 1, and then that number, and let's see if they answer.
You want to go out over air? We don't care?
Yeah, let's go right out. We're sorry for the beeps. That's how our phone system sounds. We're calling the actual federal building there, and we might wind up with a switchboard, or we might wind up with someone who took over the building. Let's be nice and polite.
Who should I ask for?
Whoever.
You have reached the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Hmm. Our regular business hours are Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30.
They're open now.
You know your party's extension. You may dial it now or stay on the line for additional options.
What's the extension for the people?
Dial 4222. For Tammy Perry, dial 4231. Chad Karchus, 4224.
Are those the people who took over?
4240.
That's zero.
Bill Moe.
Yeah, that's, you know, zero's classic.
A Healy, 4229.
Yeah,
I will note for the younger folks, this is not an IVR, so you can't talk to it. Well, wait, it is an IVR, but it's not voice activated.
It's going to be a dial tone soon if you don't have zero.
One moment, please.
Okay, so we might get. How do we ask? Are you the people who took over the building?
You got this. We're looking for representative.
Well, maybe a phone is ringing somewhere in the compound. Well, it's not a compound. It's a federal building.
We're calling from...
The thing is, these are their business hours. They can't change the message, apparently.
This mailbox is full.
Oh, boy.
Accept any
hang on.
And later, the person you have called is not available. Using the dial pad, please enter the extension you wish to call.
The dial pad?
Press pound. To leave a message, press star. To reach an operator...
Well, how do we leave a message? Hit star.
Please enter the mailbox number or press pound to use the directory. Using the dial pad...
Go through the directory.
Enter right-wing militia and see if something comes up.
Linda Beck, fish biologist. To accept
fish biologist.
Selection, press pound. To select the next matching name, press 1.
Okay. We're not going to get anywhere, unfortunately.
I'm a biologist at Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Please leave a short message.
Let's not bother her. She's got enough on it. She can't go to work. These are the people that can't report to work.
They're locked out, and the fish are hurting as a result.
Well, we tried. We did try. We called their number. You know, I think they could have picked up if we had, when it was ringing on the zero.
It was a quick ring. It was like one or two rings.
If the federal government had control over that phone number, they would have changed the message, I think.
Yeah, exactly. They probably have to be on site. They probably would have to find whomever runs it or implements it there, their tech person, right, who's got the information on how to change it, or they'd have to figure it out themselves. The other thing is that it's likely that they turn down the phones there if people have been bothering them a bunch.
Yeah, the mailbox is full.
And it's that kind of thing where they're not answering the phones. They may not be using the phone systems there at all because they know. And then the other thing is it's not it didn't search around. What is that feature where it hunts through all the extensions? It doesn't do that. It actually seems like it went to one switchboard.
Well, it went to the switchboard operator.
Right, who's at the welcome desk or reception.
But apparently nobody's manning that desk. But, you know, I'll bet we could get their attention somehow. Thing is, you know, if we hacked into that system and we changed the message,
that would be cool.
We get into more trouble than they're getting into right now.
We would.
Holding the place hostage. And that's the thing that bothers me, is that, you know, a bunch of white people can go with their guns to a building like this, and everyone is like, okay, we want this to end peacefully. And you have people demonstrating for justice, and they're immediately arrested and tackled and horrible things like that. I don't think these people are terrorists. I don't think they belong in prison. I don't think they should meet a violent end. I think that everyone should be treated with the respect these people are getting. And that doesn't happen. And that's really unfortunate. Do we want to try to take phone calls or should we exit the way? It's your call, Kyle.
631-632-6901. You're listening to Off the Wall.
We do require at least two phones to ring, though, for us to take one phone. Because that didn't work out so well last week when we relied on one person.
All right. We have one. Do we have another?
We have to have that second one. That second one's very important. So if
okay, we have two calls.
All right.
You want one or two?
Well, it's your call.
Top or bottom?
Just pick one before we run out
Hello,
of
Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Hello. I'm...
Quickly.
Yes.
Yes, only 3 minutes. Okay.
Are you driving?
I'm actually calling about... I know, it's not about the... the takeover of that building, but actually, what you were talking about technology last week.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How it doesn't solve everything.
Yeah, it's not a panacea and can get you into trouble if you aren't aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at the store I'm working at.
Okay.
I do a procedure called a clean sweep.
Uh-huh.
Where it's supposed to be like insurance.
Yeah?
You're supposed to scan these barcodes in certain places of the store, and you take, like, this little maintenance card with you. I'm basically a janitor.
I know what you're talking about. I've actually been into the old Amazon building in Seattle, where a security guard walked around, and he has to go to different stations and record that he's been there. Is that what it is, a sweep?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be checking if it's clean, and you have to do this every hour of each hour. It's not like checking the place is secure.
Okay, so it's not some sort of electronic system. What's your point there?
Yeah, what's the point here?
What have you noticed about it?
I think it's kind of flawed because if there's a spill after I scan the area, what's the point of scanning the area to say, oh, it's okay here, it's okay there? And also, I think it also takes a lot of the time of the job I'm doing. I'm doing other stuff. I'm supposed to take care of the garbage.
But it,
I'm actually supposed to take care of the bathroom.
Right, and you end up being kind of a slave to this sort of accounting system that doesn't actually reflect what's going on the floor. That's interesting.
Well, it makes somebody feel secure. But, hey, we're out of time. But thanks for that call.
Now. Okay.
And we need to exit delay. We need to,
Hi.
Go back to live.
We're going to go all the way live.
Did you just interrupt yourself?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'm sorry we didn't get to take more calls. And maybe we'll do that. We're still kind of traumatized from last week. But maybe we'll take more next week.
Yeah.
But you can write to us, otw@2600.com, for Off the Wall. You know, that always works.
Yeah, we're open to that. Mm-hmm. We're okay with your letters. So thanks for listening, and have fun out there. Yeah.
blood.